This season, we're launching a new episode of The Missing every week. But if you don't want to wait, all episodes are currently available completely ad-free on What's the Story Crime. Signing up is really easy. Just follow the link in our show notes. You're guaranteed to find your new favourite true crime listen. From con men to missing people, forensic investigations to miscarriages of justice, What's the Story Crime is the home for all true crime fans who want bingeable, addictive, crime-based content.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
In many missing persons cases, there's a potential suspect, a clear motive, or a reason why the missing person might have wanted to vanish. But sometimes cases come along without any of that. Cases which feel like such a mystery, it's hard to know what to think or where to start. Cases like that of 51-year-old mother and grandmother Patricia Duncan, who disappeared more than 20 years ago. From the outside, Patricia lived a full life. She had 7 children and 11 grandchildren, all of whom she doted on. She was part of the local amateur dramatics group, and she shared hobbies with her husband, George. She had no known financial stresses or mental health concerns. In short, Patricia seemed to be thriving. So why, in 2002, in the middle of the night, as a huge storm raged outside, would Patricia have gone missing from her family home? No one has heard from her since. I'm Pandora Sykes, and you're listening to The Missing, a What's the Story original podcast series brought to you with the help of the charities Missing People and Locate International. They believe that all of the cases in this series could still be solved. This is The Missing, Patricia Duncan. Patricia Duncan was born in Fife, Scotland, not long after the end of World War II.
She was born on the 6th of August, 1951. She was the eldest of 3 children. She had a younger brother and a younger sister.
Patricia's father worked as a bus driver, and her mother stayed at home to look after the children. When Patricia was in her teens, it was the swinging 60s, a decade of freedom, fun and liberation for many. But Patricia spent much of her time at the local Salvation Army, and it was here that she met her future husband, George.
It was just a church came to tell you about God and Jesus and that. And mum and dad were both part of that. my dad's parents, my grandparents, they were part of it, and that's how they met my mum.
Patricia and George fell in love. George was 6 years older than Patricia, and he had three sons from a previous relationship.
When they got together, my mum took on as her children, because they were young when they got together. She was their mum. Didn't they treat them, Ken, as if they weren't her children. She treated them as if she'd given birth to that kids.
It wasn't long before Patricia became a mum to their first daughter together, a girl they named Louise. And soon after that, the couple decided to get married.
They were married on the 12th of February, 1977. It's a black and white photo that we've got. Dad was wearing a suit. Mum was wearing a very pretty dress with a collar, and they looked very, very beautiful and very happy. That's one of my favourite photos of my mum and dad, is their wedding photo.
Patricia and George had three boys and one daughter. And after they got married, they went on to have three more daughters. And in 1987, the family of nine moved to Buckie, a scenic fishing village on the northeast coast of Scotland. Joanne is Patricia's second eldest daughter.
We moved to Buckie from Mintlaw when I was 7 years old. We're known for our seals. We've got quite a few bits that have seals. Park Gordon, which is just not even a 2 minute drive from Buckie. It's just the next little village along. And the seals gather there, which were quite popular for a lot of people come to Buckie to visit the seals.
Nature enthusiasts often visit Buckie for the marine life, with dolphins, otters and ospreys all living alongside the famous seals. It's a quiet, picturesque place where not much often happens, and the Duncan family were happy there.
In our house, we had four girls and three boys and mum and dad. We had a family dog called Sheba. Lots of laughter, lots of fighting between the children, as you'd expect. We did lots of like family things, family trips. We never went abroad or anything when we were younger. But we always, like, we went caravan holidays, lots of day trips when we were off in the summer holidays and things. Just a very busy family. And mum was, like, the root of everything, and she was there for every one of us.
Patricia's husband, George, had his own business, which many of the family, including Patricia, ended up working for.
My dad's business it's called Northeast Reinforcing, which is a steel fixing business. So they did the reinforcement for bridges, buildings, so all the steel work that's inside the buildings to give it the strength. My three brothers worked for my dad. My older sister, she worked for my dad. Me and my other two sisters, we would go out at weekends and help my dad. And we just absolutely loved it. And obviously, Louise would help my mum do like the paperwork side and things as well, which that's what my mum did, was the paperwork side of my dad's business.
And despite having seven children of their own, Patricia and George welcomed more into their home.
As I went up to high school, mum and dad spoke. They spoke to all the children and they decided that they wanted to foster. So we, mum and dad, fostered for a good few years, which was good because a lot of parents, when they ask their kids and that, but that's what my mum and dad were like. They involved all their children in most of the decision making for things like that, because obviously it was going to affect our lives as well.
In later years, Patricia also cared for her mother and father-in-law, who moved into a property next door.
The family home had like a little granny flat attached to it, and that. So my dad's mum and dad, my granny and granddad, stayed there. Just before my mum went missing, my granny started showing signs of dementia. Granny was still going out and things and that, but like they had doctor's appointments and things. My mum would take them. Like my granddad had diabetes, so when he had the diabetes clinic and that, it was my mum that drove them there. A lot of the time it was mum would cook for the whole family, and that as well as granny and granddad, even though they had their own little granny flat, didn't have a kitchen.
But her life wasn't just about caring for others. Patricia had her own interests too.
She was in this amateur dramatics group, which I used to be in when I was still at school. And I used to go and help do teas and the coffees and that, kind of like at the interval and that for the cast. Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, she was the mirror. Just remember her having a white dress on and being behind the mirror.
And there was another, more unusual hobby that Patricia shared with George.
They were into the cowboys and that, so they would dress up, do shows. They would go to like galas and they would be part of like Western groups, and they would put on like a little mini sketch of like a shootout and things like that. And as we got older and we moved to Bucky, they still did that. They also did a stall that had like BB gun things, and they would do the targets, and members of the public could pay to shoot the targets.
Patricia and George even created a mini replica Western town in the family's back garden, and every now and then the children would get involved.
They used to dress us up, everyone did, dressing up by either as cowboys or cowgirls, or dressing up in the clothes that ladies and that would wear back in that days.
The family were all close, and that didn't change when Joanne had grown up and left home. She soon had her own child, and she moved to a place nearby, but saw her mum most days.
Just spending time with our kids, like day trips and things like that, going to the beach, and that obviously we live in on the coast, and that we had plenty of beaches that we could go to, going for walks with the dog. We used to go shopping together. We would sit and watch TV and things together. And obviously she looked after my son when I was working, which is probably the only person, apart from my dad and my sisters, that I would probably trust to look after my children. She was a real family home person.
In November 2002, Patricia helped to organise a birthday party for Joanne's son and another one of her grandchildren.
She went missing an exact week after my son's fifth birthday. She had been to his birthday party and everything. That was my niece's, my sister Fiona's daughter's birthday party as well, because they did a joint birthday party because there's only 4 days between them.
Patricia had seemed happy at the party and was looking forward to Christmas, one of her favourite times of year.
My mum loved it. She loved seeing the children's faces, and that came with the decorations and the lights and things. When me and Fiona and Sarah was younger, mum and dad would take us out in the car and we would drive around all the town to see all the different lights that people had up and everything. And mum just loved doing that with us, with dad.
That November, she had already started making plans for the family's Christmas Day.
We would all be there, the whole family. Brothers, sisters, grandchildren. We'd all be there on Christmas Day. Mum would cook for all of us on Christmas Day.
And she also had been organising for Christmas, getting Christmas presents, sorting out what she was going to buy my son and my sister's daughter. She also invited my partner for Christmas lunch.
Joanne sees this as a clear sign that Patricia was not intending to go missing.
For somebody that if they're planning to go, you wouldn't be doing things like that. We always get asked, do you think she's planned this? But I don't think she did.
By this time, most of Patricia and George's children had left home, except for their two youngest daughters. But the house was still regularly filled with visits from Patricia's oldest kids and grandchildren. On the day before Patricia disappeared, one of Joanne's younger sisters had decided to stay with her. And as usual, Patricia was helping everyone with logistics.
So my mum took me to pick up my son from school. And then we went back down to my mum's so Sarah could get our sleep and stuff and that. And then mum took me home.
With one of her younger daughters staying with Joanne, Patricia welcomed another of her older girls back home.
But my sister Fiona and her daughter went down to my mum's. I think she went and picked them up and she went down to my mum and dad's to stay the night.
So two of Patricia's daughters, as well as one granddaughter, were staying overnight at the family home.
They watched a movie, Fiona, Louise, my mum and my dad. And then when that movie finished, Fiona and Louise went to bed and mum and dad went to watch another movie. And say they must have went to their bed about 11:30, 12 o'clock.
Patricia's husband, George, recalls that they both went to bed at the same time, where, he says, they had a snuggle and went to sleep. At around 7 a.m. the next morning, George woke up.
And then when Dad got up the next morning, Mum wasn't there. He thought she was downstairs. Louise was there. So he'd asked Louise, where's Mum? And she goes, is she not in bed? And he goes, no. So at that point, we had a lot of animals. We had a pig. We had ducks and chickens in the back garden. So Dad thought, well, it's a really bad day because the weather was atrocious, rain and everything. He thought, she went out to feed them and she's maybe slept or something.
George went outside to see if he could find Patricia on the property somewhere.
But there was no sign of her. So Dad did jump in the car and have a drive about to see if he could see can went to, I think he went to some of the shops and that she would can normally go shopping.
Joanne found out her mum was missing when she called the family home.
I phoned to see if she was okay to look after my son because she was meant to be looking after him that day for when I went to work. And it was my sister that had answered the phone, Louise, and she had said that Mum's not here and that we don't know where she is. So I talked to my sister Sarah and she just packed her bag and she just headed straight down to the family home, and that I had to wait for my partner to come to look after my son because I didn't want to take him down just because I didn't know what was going on. So I didn't want to worry him because he was only five at the time. And then we headed down and know that Dad was out in the car looking.
But despite driving around everywhere he could think of, George found no sign of Patricia.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With nowhere else to try, he reported her missing to the police.
Mum never went anywhere without somebody knowing where she was or what kind of time she would be home. If there was nobody there for her to say to, she would leave a note saying, went to Safeway to do the shopping or whatever, but nothing. So it was so out of character that's what got us so worried. And I think because it was out of character, that's why the police were concerned and put police down to the house right away.
When police searched the home, they tried to establish which personal items Patricia had taken with her.
She left with, she had the clothes that she was wearing, which was a black pair of trousers. I can't remember what top she had on, but I know she had a brown sheepskin jacket that she was wearing. It was black shoes, and she had her cigarettes and lighter, and that was it. She didn't take her handbag or purse or anything, which made it even more concerning on that the day that she we realised that she was missing, the fact that she didn't have anything with her apart from her cigarettes and lighter.
Throughout October and November 2002, Bucky was experiencing record levels of rainfall. And on the 15th of November, the day Patricia went missing, the area was engulfed in a huge storm.
On the morning that she'd went missing, it was a stormy day, a very stormy day. The sea was coming over the sea walls. I didn't think anybody would really go out for a walk in it. It was so windy and the rain was just pummeling down. It wasn't even taking time to hit the ground.
So Patricia had left the house, carrying just her cigarettes, wearing a sheepskin jacket, in some of the worst weather the town had known. And what's more, she seemed to have simply disappeared in the middle of the night.
Between 12 and 12 o'clock on the Friday night and 7 o'clock on the Saturday morning, between that time, that's when she vanished.
The police conducted door-to-door inquiries across Bucky, but no one had seen or heard from Patricia. It was a huge search effort involving door-to-door inquiries.
I do know that they had a dog out. I think it was a couple of days after Mum had went missing. I think it was instead of a sniffer dog, I think it was actually a cadaver dog that they'd taken out. But then somebody else told me that even the weather would still be able to pick up a scent.
The family quickly banded together to search for Patricia.
We were out just walking for miles, just in case she had went for a walk and something had happened and she'd fell, because it was such terrible weather. And my dad and my sister Louise went to put up posters, and they went to the police just to make sure that it was okay for them to put the posters up.
The family's posters, alongside various news appeals, spread news of Patricia's disappearance throughout the country and even resulted in some tips.
When the sightings did come in and that, my dad was at every single one. If he couldn't manage, he would get one of the older children to go to these sightings.
George travelled far and wide in the hope that one of the sightings might lead him to his wife.
He even flew to Malta. There was a couple that was in Malta honeymooning, and they thought they had seen my mum. And that, so the dad just like, we're going, and got Louise to book tickets for him and Fiona. And they flew out to Malta and spoke to the police there. And that, I think Interpol was involved in things. But it turned out not to be my mum.
The family received reports of sightings in Malta, Inverness, Aberdeenshire, and even London. But none of them could be verified. And Patricia's daughter Joanne could see no reason she would have simply upped and left.
It's just a mystery. I think the police spoke to the doctors and there was no depression or anything, none that we've seen. And I know that depression is so really, really easy to hide from your loved ones and that, but there was nothing along that lines or anything. It's just a complete mystery. And as we always say, we are still in limbo to why this has happened.
The trail was running increasingly cold until, 7 years after Patricia first went missing, her husband had his own sighting.
In 2009, it was an ITV news report or something, and he thought he'd seen my mum behind the news reporter.
George reported his sighting to the police.
The police had checked it out, and apparently it wasn't my mum, it was just somebody that it looked like her.
Many families of missing people say they never stop looking, and they often see their vanished loved one in the faces of others.
Every person you see, you're like, is that mum? Just the way that they walk, or the colour of the grey hair, and even my partner did it. He was working down in Glasgow, and this woman walked in to Tesco's, and he's like, that's Patricia. And he literally stopped doing what he was doing. He was in the middle of working, stopped doing what he was doing to walk in to Tesco's to follow this woman. And he's like, I probably look like a stalker, but I need to know if it's her or not. But it turned out that it wasn't her. It was just somebody that really looked like her from behind.
It's now 21 years since Patricia went missing, and life agonisingly goes on. Patricia now has 7 more grandchildren who she has never met.
And I know that she would just love them. I know my daughter and both my sister's kids all know everything about her. It's like they know her, but they've never met her because we just tell them everything. And then she's got a heap of great-grandchildren. She had a great-grandson just born last year. And she's never met them, and she would just dote on them like she did with everybody.
Sightings have dried up. The police investigation has gone cold. And Patricia's family are no closer to finding out where she is.
We always said that it would get easier, but it never ever has. And that some days you'll have really good days, and then other days you'll just think about her even more. Especially when it comes to her birthday and Christmas and things. You're like, oh, Mum would love that.
For years after her mother went missing, Joanne would buy her Christmas presents in the hope she'd be home in time to open them.
And my partner says, look, you need to stop torturing yourself by going and getting these gifts and that, because you're getting your hopes up that she's going to come back any time now, and you don't know that that's going to happen.
Patricia was the centre of a family who adored her, and who haven't stopped searching for her for over 2 decades.
She wasn't just my mum, she was my best friend. I used to go to my mum for advice on everything. And then when she disappeared, it was just so hard. It was like, all I remember was missing. I was speaking to her, I miss her smile, her laugh and her cuddles. It's been so long since I've had a cuddle. As time goes past, you kind of forget what it feels like. The same with her smell. I can't remember what she smells like now.
Patricia had no known mental health problems. The family weren't in financial stress, and everyone thought she was happy. Would she really want a new life, as is sometimes the case when people go missing? Why else would she go missing? Joanne has never stopped puzzling over it.
As it's just a mystery. I think the police spoke to the doctors, and there was no depression or anything, none that we've seen. And I know that depression is so really, really easy to hide from your loved ones and that, but there was nothing along that lines or anything. It's just a complete mystery. And as we always say, we are still in limbo to why this has happened.
Could she have been hiding problems, of feeling overwhelmed? Did she leave on a whim, explaining why she took nothing except the clothes she was wearing and some cigarettes? Could the high seas and huge storm on the night of Patricia's disappearance be responsible for causing her harm? did she leave for a new life? Or is someone else involved in the disappearance of Patricia Duncan?
It does get harder, and that especially not knowing the reason for why it's happened. In this case, my mum's case, it's just she was there and she's like evaporated, basically.
Joanne firmly believes that her mum is still out there somewhere.
But it's all I would like to know is that she is okay, even if she didn't want to come home. As long as we know that she's okay, then that kind of will make it easier for us in a way, because we know that she's, there's nothing wrong with her. We love her. We just want her to be happy and safe. And we just like to know that she is happy and safe, even if she didn't want to come home. Just to get in touch with, like I say, missing people, and just say, look, I'm Patricia Duncan. Can you let my family know that I am fine?
The family are desperate for anyone who knows anything at all to come forward.
Get in touch with missing people. They didn't even have to tell us who they are or anything. They got in touch with missing people, even the police, just to let them know that they either know where she is or they've seen someone that looks like her. It would mean the world to me and my family.
In many cases, it takes just one piece of information to lead police and family to the answers they crave. If you're listening to this podcast and you feel like you might have some information about Patricia's movements on November the 15th, 2002, we want to hear from you. Even if you've never heard of Patricia Duncan before listening to this episode, you can still help. Visit our website, themissingpodcast.org, where you'll find more information on this and every other case we featured in the series. On our site, you can join the conversation and help with the investigation. There's a dedicated forum, moderated carefully by Locate, where you can get updates on the case, share your theories, and discuss the facts with real investigators from Locate International. The series is also made with the help of Missing People, a charity who offers support to the families of the missing. Their helpline is open to offer support and advice if you've been affected by anything in this episode. We can't say this enough. It takes just one person with the right information to solve any of the cases in this series. Joanne firmly believes that the information will soon arrive to solve this one. The Missing is a What's the Story original podcast series. It's presented by me, Pandora Sykes. This episode was produced and written by Carla Wright. It's edited by Jack O'Kennedy. The executive producers for What's the Story Sounds are Daryl Brown and Sophie Ellis.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.